If you're a bottle, watch out, because you're going to get smashed. We saw Liz and Dick, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for Out of the Scrimmage. We're going to have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, because you know you wonder how did this remain. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas.
How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Raphael, how are you?
Good. How are you, Paul?
We have a very special guest today for our
smile. Such a smile in the studio.
Happy to be here.
We have a very special guest today for our first TV movie event, Drew Droege. Please welcome Drew Droege.
Hello, everybody.
Hooray.
Hello. I'm so excited.
It's right that you're here.
It's right. It feels right.
It is a dream come true.
Now, I love the show. I've always wanted to do it, and this is the perfect movie for me to come on.
It barely classifies itself as a movie.
This
is horrible.
I think it's more of an event.
It does feel, you're right, though, there's just the structure of the movie. I'll just jump right in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does sort of feel like just little vignettes.
If that. It is really just a chronological telling of 30 years?
30 years.
30 plus years?
Which, by the way, the last 11 are like, it gets really compacted.
At a certain point.
It's got to wrap it up because there's an 11 o'clock program happening on
At a certain point, I wrote, I think that in this movie's logic, a year goes by every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, another year has time jump.
Well, I said to June, we were 10 minutes left to the film and the teleplay, and they had yet to be divorced and remarried, and that's a very big part of their life. That they were divorced and then remarried again. That hadn't even happened.
And when it started, didn't you feel like you just stepped into it? It didn't even start. So it was like, you felt like, oh, I missed the first half hour.
They don't explain who any of these characters are.
None.
I didn't know that this guy was his brother until like the end of the movie.
Dear brother. And you're like, oh, they were a brother.
Well, by the way, they also have two completely different accents.
Yes, Scottish and English.
completely different.
Yes.
Should we just, just to give you guys, if you have not watched the Lifetime extravaganza.
Get on it.
This is most of the movie, like Jason said, are vignettes interspersed by Liz and Dick in a black box.
What is this?
What is that theater?
This is the shit I couldn't handle.
This was the craziest thing. It's the craziest conceit for a movie.
Are they supposed to be in heaven?
It's heaven.
Are they dead in heaven?
They're in director's chairs in heaven narrating the movie to us.
And at certain points, okay, this is where shit gets crazy because they'll be showing a scene, then they'll cut to Liz and Dick in the director's chairs as if they're watching the scene from their life, and they will smile.
Yes. And they'll laugh at each other. Yes. Sometimes they talk to each other. Sometimes they talk as if the other one's not there.
And sometimes they're just reacting to what has just happened as if they are witnessing it.
Sometimes their performances in the movie are making them cry. They're so good that they're making themselves cry.
Oh my God, there is nothing better that this movie is almost perfect because there is the best part of this. These are two of the worst actors in the world. And the best, and I'm telling you, the best parts are when they are called upon to act within the scenes from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Iconic performances.
Should I play?
I actually
did a little compilation of the Virginia Woolf scenes. Can we play those Virginia Woolf scenes? Here we go.
Oh, I gave you the prize years ago, Martha. There isn't an abomination award you haven't won.
Oh, God.
What?
You make me puke.
Well, that wasn't a very nice thing to say.
You're fantastic. Oh, thank you.
Let's get the hell out of here.
I like it here. You just don't like it when I get all of the attention, do you?
I don't like it when you get all of the attention. Then why the hell did I marry you?
I hope that was an empty bottle, George. You can't afford to waste good liquor.
So they basically couldn't even structure together. I tried to edit it to the point they would have one line and then cut back to them because they could not carry that scene.
I have seen at least five drag queens in my life that have given better readings of "You Make Me Puke." I mean, like, that's such a, like, an iconic line. And it's like, you can't nail that. Like, that's a thing. And it was just like,
I thought it was just really bold to even try.
I thought it was so bold.
They are trying. They are trying in this movie.
And without any attempt at a fat suit, like without even looking.
Holy shit.
Like,
she never gains any weight. And the big thing about the movie is that she's such a fatty.
The point is that she has let herself go and that she's fat. They even show newspaper headlines about how fat she's become. She is not fat.
She never ages
she's
or gets fat.
She's 24 years old.
And by the way, when she picks up that Cleopatra newsletter, that's just randomly on her bed. Like, who laid that out for her?
By the way, all their news was given to them by these papers. They broke up over papers.
They learned papers. They didn't know. They had to read the papers. They were obsessed.
I will say this, though, and this is controversial, perhaps, but I would argue that Lindsay Lohan...
Uh-oh.
What a laugh! Lindsay Lohan most convincingly pulls off the oldest Elizabeth Taylor.
I agree. Visiting his grave,
50s, mid-50s year old Elizabeth Taylor is where Lindsay Lohan looks the most convincing.
Well, also that wig needs an Emmy.
That final wig
is amazing. It's incredible.
By the way, that wig is doing more acting than she does the entire movie. Because she doesn't really even have any lines in it. She's just a lot of poses, a lot of staring.
Well, she does collapse.
She does go in
and get the news and collapse to the floor, which we did have to watch three or four times.
So good.
And by the way, though, her mom hasn't aged a bit.
Teresa Russell. In the course of 30 years.
Yeah.
Does not.
Yeah. And by the way, I did not know she was her mom until
until that scene.
It took me a long time.
I didn't know it was the mother until she said, "Mom, what's wrong?" And she goes, "It's Richard. He's dead." And then Lindsay Lohan's like flops to the ground.
You wouldn't know anything about any of these people. If you didn't know anything about Liz Taylor or Richard Burton, you would learn nothing. You would think this is Lindsay Lohan. Like,
they're blatant lies. There's one lie where she goes, "We did 40 movies in those 11 years." No, that's not true. They did not do 40 movies.
40 movies? How is that even possible?
40 movies?
That's crazy.
They did like 20.
That's what porn stars do. Like 40 movies in 11 years.
40 movies in 10 days. If you were writing this movie,
how do you get that fact wrong? We did 40.
I do love the obsession with numbers in this, like, just in the script. It's like, I love that who is her friend that comes out and says, "Not that I'm counting, but I believe
that's
this
her
is
mom."
That's her mom. Okay.
That's her mom.
By her friend, you mean her mom? Her mother. Okay.
Who was not introduced as her mother until the final scene.
Okay. At that point, I was just like, Teresa Russell looks good. I haven't seen her since Black Widow. And she comes out on the thing, she goes, "I'm not counting, but I believe that's your fourth marriage that you've ruined." And then Lindsay Lohan
and
goes,
you're 29
who's
years
counting?
Old.
Yeah. It's like, well, actually, you are. And like, she has no like concern about that number, yet she's constantly going, "I've done 9 films since I was 29. Like, all these crazy need for numbers. All the titles with
years. Oh my God, there was so much wording.
All these specific dates. Like, really? Was March 15th, 1963 a really important, iconic date for you?
At one point, like, there was a person on screen talking, and the entire, on the left-hand side of the screen, and on the entire of the right-hand side of the screen was text. At the top, it said hashtag Liz and Dick, so you could know to hashtag it.
In the middle
was some sort of title like Malta, 1964, right?
Yes.
And at the bottom was the Lifetime logo with the words Liz and Dick. Huge. There was so much text on the screen. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, I was most confused. I said to June, like, at one point they cut to Santa Monica, and they're in an audience, and he's... No, he lost some award, Richard Burton. I go, is
the
that
Academy
the
Oscars?
Oscars?
I go, but is that the why not title it the Oscars?
Yeah, exactly.
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Just some random theater in Santa Monica. It was
so random.
The movie
so
had
weird.
No stakes to it at any given point.
I know. Like, and it was like they were telling you like you're on the set of the VIPs, but you couldn't tell you that you were at the Oscars. Like,
yeah.
It was sort of like,
I was like,
so
did the Oscars not give permission to use that name?
They refer to the Academy Awards later on.
Yeah, you're right.
Like they don't go the second year because he didn't. When he lost to Lee Marvin the first year.
Yeah, yeah. And then he loses to the other guy, but she wins.
I need to go back to their interview.
She has children in this movie.
Did they both do?
Yeah.
Well,
we're here out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Like, the concept that Lindsay Lohan has a bunch of kids in this movie is mind-boggling.
Well, by the way, that was one of my favorite scenes, her interacting with her child on the bed.
Oh, my God.
Was
one of my favorite scenes was, I'm bored.
I know, yeah.
I'm bored.
I so strange. Smoke.
And then everybody pours out of the house like,
three women run out of the house.
What can we do?
Also, for such a tumultuous story about these like chaotic people, I've never seen more lounging in a movie in my life. She's always laying.
There's no action.
She's
no
on
action.
Something, smoking. She's always laid out on a, like a chaise. Just bitching in a turban.
I was gonna say that. I was gonna say that. The one thing I did find interesting too is never did either one of the characters not have half on their clothes when they were having sex. So what I mean is, one was half naked and the other one was always fully clothed. So one was in a toga. One had her top off. They were always mixed.
Okay, there's one really strange scene. I don't know where they are, if they're in Morocco or where they are at this time, but they're on vacation and they're having breakfast, and Richard Burton inexplicably is wearing a toga.
And she's smoking and cracking
eggs. Any thoughts?
Okay, see, at first I was like, oh, wait. At first I saw that and I was like, wait, is this during Cleopatra? Is
no,
this like
he's not, no.
And then I realized it's years later.
I think my feeling is they probably thought that they were filming one scene and Lindsay just started saying the lines from another scene, and it was like the only time they could get that scene. And
maybe they just thought it was cute.
Let's just make this one count.
I thought it was more like Richard Burton was such a theater actor that whenever he's around sheets, he's constantly crafting himself togas to get into. Because by the way,
they fell in love with him wearing a toga, so I guess that's what.
Their on-screen chemistry, rather, is negative. There is not chemistry, it's discomforting to watch them kiss, they do constantly.
Oh. Well, you know, the
every
guy,
time I'm like,
there's so much kissing. The guy, Grant Bowler, who played Richard Burton, has said openly on interviews, it was a terrible experience. I was constantly mad. I was mad a lot. She never showed up. I'm a trained actor, and it was very difficult to be in scenes with her. Like, I love that he's been so honest about it.
If I was offered that part and I knew I had to kiss Lindsay Lohan on the mouth that much, I think I'd be like, no, I'm
just
out.
Think about it.
I think I don't
like
think I could handle it.
Kissing a human ashtray. It's just like, you would catch something. He probably has some sort of lip disease at this point. it's not diagnosed.
This is just conjecture.
It's conjecture. I'm going to be like that doctor at the end who came in and delivered some important news.
You
can
might
you play
have
the hospital
clip? Yeah, okay.
This is one of the best lines.
Dr. Miller, I was just telling Henry that I'm feeling so very much better.
So very much better.
What?
Your blood tests. Look, I'm not saying it is colon cancer, but it's serious enough that I need to run more tests.
I'm not saying that it
I'm
is colon
saying.
Cancer.
I will not say that it is colon cancer.
And is it? We never find
we never
out.
Find
we do
out.
Find out. He says it's not. He says it was a false positive.
Later. Oh, okay.
He says it was a false positive, clean bill of health.
Oh, okay, all right.
But for minute, she possibly has colon cancer.
And that's when they decide to get remarried right after the colon cancer diagnosis.
Why are her legs hanging up in that scene?
What?
Oh,
her
legs are in like
trash
or something.
Like a stirrup?
Here's the thing. Liz Taylor is a real-life crazy person.
Yes. Yeah.
And the idea...
She got married at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch to a 20-year-old truck driver much later in her life, which I would like to see the sequel to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's Liz a real, real crazy person. And the idea that this movie doesn't make her seem crazy enough... is upsetting because she's played by quite possibly the craziest person of now.
Yeah.
Like,
but
seems
a lot
like
of times
a home run.
True crazy reads is boring. Like, I think a truly crazy performer is boring. Like, they have so much going on and they... There were many times that she seemed like she so didn't want to be there, didn't know what was going on.
That's always fascinating because I imagine for her this was an enormous opportunity. I mean, all you hear is how she wants to act and
she wants to do
the roles and she wants to be seen a certain way. It's like, well, this
she
is
she worked
this
with
was
an
it.
Acting coach and a dialect coach to
oh my
get
God, that
this.
Dialect.
The dialect, which comes and goes, it sounds a lot like Lindsay Lohan from Mean Girls, whatever dialect that was.
Yeah.
the non-affected Freaky Friday
sounds
dialect.
Sounds like whiskey and cocaine.
But there was also also like, that all those phrases.
Lindsay? Wait, Lindsay? Oh, wait. Oh, no, it's true.
I'm Lindsay.
Oh, my God, Lindsay Lohan.
And then she's randomly incredibly British on one scene on the yacht.
Oh, yes.
One scene
really
on the yacht,
British.
She becomes very British.
But then it comes back to this crazy.
Wait, Lindsay? Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah. Sorry. You get me every time.
I also like
that is flawless.
I also like that she
I'm taking it on the road.
I watched this movie with like Wikipedia out because I was like, is that true? Is that true? Like when
did she get on stage? I'm sorry to cut you
off. Oh yeah, no, would she get on stage?
Did she do that?
I couldn't find anything about
that. That was so crazy.
Insane.
That was obnoxious.
What scene?
Basically, when he did Hamlet and she got up on stage with him during Curtain Call
In the theater.
You guys, I was not around for this scene.
So he did Hamlet.
Remember? Yeah, he did Hamlet.
At the end of Hamlet, first of all, the curtain comes up and no one else in the cast bows. They're just standing
him.
There. And then I'm like, that's how curtain calls work, everybody. The whole cast just stands there.
Oh,
and
you mean
the lead comes out and bows. And then he gestures to his wife and she got up on stage.
She comes, runs out
and he says, in the words of Shakespeare, there will be no more marriages, which is basically calling your wife a whore.
Yeah.
And like to the woman that's been married five or six times. I don't know, but I'm really interested. I didn't find anything about that.
I also didn't find anything about her ass shot. Because like at one point
the paparazzi,
she like shows her ass. Like that picture will be around the world. No, I typed in paparazzi ass shot.
Look up whether or not in the 80s you can just write a letter to Elizabeth Taylor
and address
it Elizabeth Taylor Bel Air.
It will get there.
And then give it to your servant to put in the post and it will get there. Is that all you need to do? To Elizabeth Taylor Bel Air. That's it. No state, no zip code.
Richard Burton.
No
he
street
didn't need,
address.
He, no.
There is no street address. On the envelope. Elizabeth Taylor, Bel Air. Mail this, will you?
Jason, the postman knows. The postman knows.
Oh my God, come on.
Oh my God.
I also loved, I think it was at the end of Cleopatra when they called rap for the last scene, or maybe it was VIP.
Yes.
I don't know.
Whatever.
But the entire crew standing by.
With champagne?
Champagne.
No, wait. He goes like this. The guy goes, okay.
They do.
This is what happens. Okay, they're doing the final scene. Each of them says one line each. And the director goes, and cut. And that's a wrap. And then everybody has champagne bottles. Everybody is already within the frame. It doesn't even cut. There isn't a cut to like a bigger celebration. It all happens in
one
take. And cut. And that's a wrap. Champagne bottles.
And they don't celebrate with the two actors in the movie. No. They're left alone in the front. Everyone's
the two
like
leads,
partying.
Two movie stars.
The two are married. Are not allowed.
How about when they start fucking on Cleopatra, right?
Yes.
They start having sex, and there is the Benny Hill style scene of them running in and out of trailers to have sex.
Oh, I know.
I deeply want somebody in our audience to take that section and just cut yakety sax to it. So it's like.
By the way, the music that was underscoring it was the most corny music of all time.
So stupid.
I also love during that sequence when their spouses would arrive, the PAs or whoever they were run up to them and say, oh, Richard's in hair and makeup or Elizabeth's in wardrobe.
By the way, how well did that work? Because they would get there and then they wouldn't be there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like there must have been what happened like 3 minutes later.
Oh, they're not here. I guess I'll go back to the show. No, they're over here now.
How about the movie seems to have whether it's the brother or her mother, the movie seems to have as an ethos that at any point anybody can arrive into a scene, like when they're in the bed and the hotel man just walks in their room and says, will you be keeping this suite and the other
suite?
And
they give him so much information to him. They talk to him for a good 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes and he didn't knock?
He just walked into their hotel suite.
I was like, what is that? Why would this
and
ever
privy
happen?
Privy to their most personal information. Well, they
it was odd, too.
That's
like
why they were so eccentric. They would share all their information with bellhops.
But just charge them for the suite.
By the way, they seem to have no problem with money, but yet the guy was like, you guys need to pay us.
And well,
like,
I think they were trying to say like they were just spending money wantonly. You know, they had a house in Switzerland. They had... I don't. This is crazy.
I also like that Natalie Wood is like an extra. She's barely. She doesn't have a line.
Wait. I thought it was Natalie Wood too. It's not Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
It is somebody else named Natalie, a non-famous Natalie who's in that movie.
Well, then fuck her.
Just again to talk about how things are not done. You know, in Hollywood, we talked about the rap. We talked about the stage bow. I'd also like to talk about when they were shooting VIP that the person who had the slate board goes. Take one on VIP.
Like he said the name of the movie. They always say the name of the movie.
Just in case it gets mixed up with some other movies that's going through the system.
This movie is really terrible.
See, I thought for a second that the interview, the Purgatory director commentary thing they were doing.
Oh, yeah. So they're in these chairs.
But I thought that that might have been an interview that they did at some point. That's not...
No.
Definitely not.
They were reflecting on their lives.
Definitely
and his
not.
Death.
No.
But why would they set up this other bookend to the movie? Like, why would we set up this bookend of Richard Burton dying and opening and closing the movie this way?
Yeah.
And then, but then keep on cutting back to this other...
I think I see what you're doing. You're trying to figure out why this nonsense gobbledygook makes no sense.
I feel like they were like, "Hey, it's a true story. We can't write a movie around it. It's all happened."
I feel like they wrote a script that was like the scenes and maybe like the scenes as they were, and they were like, "Ugh." It's just like if only Liz and Dick could themselves talk about it. Oh. Wait a minute. What about first-person style confessionals from Liz and Dick?
It's like the real world meets a biopic. No one's done it.
Meets that episode of Family Ties where Alex's friend dies in a car accident.
Yes, and the whole
and it's a black box.
Yes. Well, I wonder too if they didn't have enough footage to fill 2 hours because they couldn't finish scenes. There's
by the way, it's a light 1 hour and like 27 minutes. Like if you watch it without commercials, it flies by.
Well, and I wonder if they're like, we have to go back and shoot these interview things to fill up time, and because there's that Christmas scene where she comes in and they have no lines.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just like she comes in and they look at each other and it's like, huh. Moving on.
Next
Malta.
Scene.
And like, whatever. And you're like,
what's so weird about that weird purgatory space is you would think that it would serve to patch the holes and tell the story of the movie.
It does not.
No. It does not.
They just basically narrate what we already saw.
And don't you confusing.
And don't you expect it to cut around and you find out where they are at the end of it? No.
No.
It does not.
They're
it
in heaven. They're, God is watching the movie and they're watching it. They're watching it with God. They're watching Lifetime with God.
The only way this movie could have been more insane is if at the very last minute in the director's commentary, then in the black box director's commentary, it reversed and it was God who is interviewing them. That's the only
George
way.
Burns.
Just a white light.
Played by Charlton Heston, played by Ashton Kutcher.
Yes, a single point of white light.
That's so funny.
I want to play the. I kind of compiled some of their. In heaven testimonials. So here's them in heaven. You get to hear and listen to the rasp in the voice. So I kind of combine the best of their heaven testimonials. So listen to that, and then we'll be right back after a commercial break.
We were destined to meet.
Cleopatra.
Most people don't remember, but we started shooting the film in England without dear Richard.
And then filming suddenly stopped because Elizabeth felt terribly ill.
Yes, I had a tracheotomy. I was the monster that broke up America's sweetheart.
She's talking about Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
I know who I'm talking about.
And of course, Eddie had been best man at Mike Todd's wedding, so...
So shoot me. Do I sound defensive? Because I'm not. Eddie chased me, and I was stupid enough to give in.
Yes. And you were vulnerable after Mike's death. Besides, how were you to know that I was going to come along?
Like you had any idea of what was going to hit you, Buster.
I'd like to talk about, I know we touched on the final wig, which was the best wig.
Oh, yeah,
the
best
and the wig best of
look.
Them all.
It was wonderful.
The best look of them all.
That web. It was just a
it
web.
It was unbelievable. But I thought the rest of the wigs in the movie were the wiggiest
God
looking wigs.
Awful.
His
it was wigs on
are
wigs.
His
on.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I thought he was going bald the entire time, and it was like he was wearing a wig. But I was like, oh, no, I think that's just him wearing like an actual wig.
Yeah. But the Cleopatra wig, which was like a Rick James wig. Like, it was just
crazy.
Awful. The and the fact that there was these awful wigs on, like no physical transformation whatsoever. So none. The whole thing, it felt like I was watching an episode of The Amanda Show. Like, it was just like, sort of like we're kind
Amanda Bynes should have played this
Amanda
part.
Amanda Bynes would have been great.
I really didn't know that with The Amanda Show.
Yeah, that Nickelodeon like sketch show where just like, we're in costumes and making faces and we're kind of playing at old people. But you don't ever believe that they're actually that, or really that.
Well, that was nothing transformative about anything these actors did that made me believe they were in this.
Were 117 costume changes. 117.
I did like a lot of the costumes.
Lindsay Lohan had 66.
I'd like to put in a word for
that.
The
red dress was pretty awesome.
The red dress was great. There were a couple of headpieces that were really wonderful.
The asp or that weird snake in her hair.
But a lot of that stuff is just recreating the stuff from their movies. I mean, do you want to talk about his blue beard? His blue beard goatee?
Oh, his blue beard goatee.
Do you want to talk about his blue beard goatee?
They didn't have time to perfect any. They had 20 days to shoot this movie.
Is that real?
Yes.
I don't doubt it.
Wow.
Because this movie feels like it was shot in an afternoon.
Yeah. It was just like, let's go. It's like they shot it, like, one take, we got it. Because even when she faints,
P.S., didn't got it.
No, you definitely didn't got it.
You didn't got it.
Does she have the voice in that one? Kind of. Let's go. Because even when she faints.
I just imagine him looking at the script supervisor and being like, did she say anything close to what's in the script?
Yeah.
And her being like 40%, and he'd be like, check the gate, we're moving.
move it. We've got to make our day.
It's so interesting that the most realized performance was at the very end with White Diamond's list. Taylor.
Yeah.
That's when I felt like was embodying the character, and it's when the character is like in her 60s. It was mind-boggling.
Because she has aged that much. Yeah. She can pull off
she understands
old now.
That. She
can
lived enough. She's lived 60 years in those 26 Lohan years. Really,
I just had an idea. Maybe those little testimonials in the room. Maybe that's what happens to all celebrities, like God interviews you Charlie Rose style. It's like, that is what happens.
I'm just realizing
because that was what happened on Richard Burton's last days.
But how old were they supposed to be in that testimonial?
They're the primes of their lives.
Oh, that she's 29 and he's in his 30s. Like that when they met on Cleopatra.
Yeah, that's the best of their
lives.
That was
the other thing is, like, Lindsay Lohan now... Like, it took somebody being, like, that mother's line of, like, correct me, you know, I might be mistaken, but you've had 4 divorces by the and you're only 29 years old.
Who's counting?
Yeah, and I was like, she's only 29 in this? Okay, first, right?
And Lindsay then I Lohan's was like, not even that old.
Then I was like, Lindsay, because in my mind, I was like, she seems way older.
26. She's 26?
Yeah. She seems way older.
And Lindsay Lohan. She's 26?
Lindsay Lohan is 26.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is.
I believe.
Dire
around a year or two around there, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
upsetting.
The thing that you can't believe.
She's lived.
But she doesn't look
Which is crazy. It's like she had trouble playing the ingenue.
Yeah.
Who she is actually
she
younger
is,
than.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
She had trouble playing a lot of things. I mean, sadly.
It was, and let me, I want to go on record, and maybe we all feel this way, and we can all say if we do. I legitimately think that Lindsay Lohan, in the era of Freaky Friday.
Oh, for sure. Nothing better.
Mean Girls. Yeah. Yeah. And the other one. What's the other one?
Parenthood?
Parent Trap. Is like legitimately a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
She was meant
Parent Trap,
to be.
Parent Trap, you gotta do 2 roles at
once.
Yes. Great.
Meant to be, she was going to be amazing. And to watch this, you are literally, I literally was like, how on earth is this the same person? She seems incapable of even the craft of acting that she seemed absolutely capable of 10 years ago.
I mean,
the thing that's sad to me about her, because I totally agree, and I think she's so... I want her to... I don't feel like she acknowledges the camp factor of what she is. It's like, I was really rooting for her to be so over the top and just be insane and devouring it and just acting every minute. And instead, she's just tired and bored and looks like she wants
so
to go home.
So you would have preferred just a ballsier, bad job.
I would, absolutely. Yeah. I would have loved
expected,
that.
Like, I expected more of a voice, more of emotion.
Like,
more.
You were saying, June, like, this is her chance to come back, and I was expecting her to be like, I'm Elizabeth Taylor and I'm acting now, and it could have been terrible, but
right.
Which
but
is, by the way, perfect for the performance of Elizabeth Taylor. Yes,
in a Lifetime movie, bring
it. Absolutely, you know.
But it felt like someone was prodding her with like a thing, like, get in there, do it.
She seems cloudy and disinterested.
And it's like, you know, Sally Field and Lincoln, right? Just giving a little too much, but in it and committed and awesome. You know what I mean? And that thing where you're like, you know she wanted that part too.
Always giving a little too much.
You know, and I've never, always a little too much.
Or Sally Field in.
That's why she's so good in Soap Dish. It's like that thing where you're like acting, where you're just like, she is there and you are never going to forget that she, you know. And so you think that Lindsay Lohan is going to have that sort of commitment to it. No, she's just like, hey, look, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're not even trying. Maybe, that's what disappoints me in her.
She definitely went method with the smoking. She got into that. She definitely
And the lounging and the turban.
Well, also, some of the dialogue and some of the language was when she had to say lines like, who's the most beautiful woman in the world? Mickey Mouse. And all
I didn't
even understand what that was, but it was an amazing moment. She's wearing a big fur hat, like a Russian fur hat. Who's the most beautiful woman in the world? Mickey Mouse.
Did you say Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse?
Oh, Minnie Mouse, sorry.
Minnie Mouse.
I was like, if she says Mickey, if I misheard that as, if that she says Mickey Mouse, then I am so even much more confused.
What about the fact, and this is just, look, you can talk about Lindsay Lohan's performing all you want. That's like kicking a dead cat. But I will say, some of the other people I'm not psyched about either. How about the prop master who made the bottle of vodka brand vodka?
It said vodka.
Vodka. It was vodka, vodka. Ugh. And all the bottles, you said there was no action. I disagree. There were so many bottles smashed.
There was
in this
a lot
movie.
Of bottles smashed.
I mean, almost every scene, it was punctuated with a bottle
smashed. But many times they're very casually smashed. It was like they would say, like, hey, I've had about enough. Smash. It's like, really? At that point?
I'm mad at you. I'm going back to the hotel. And then she's in the hotel just smashing everything in sight.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, did they really live on a houseboat for a number of years? Because that seems like a crazy thing. Like, they moved to a houseboat, and if they did, I want that as, like, the continuing TV series. Liz and Dick on a houseboat.
And that weird guy, like, the photographer guy that was on there with her she brought
her
on.
Her Italian photographer.
We had to, rewind several times to be like, who is that guy? Like,
that's a very famous photo, also, though, right? Of her on the
catamaran.
Yeah, I think so. Also,
introduced and then never followed up. He's like, don't fuck him.
Yeah,
and then she doesn't. So it's like, what are we doing? We're setting up all these things. Like, you might have cancer. Oh, no,
wait,
sorry.
Wait a second. They must have talked about that, though, in the purgatory testimony.
No, they didn't talk about that. We will be right back after a quick commercial break. CGI work in this movie.
Holy shit. Rome. Rome.
Didn't they park in front of the Colosseum at one point? They literally parked on the Colosseum.
Yep. And you see little animated people in the background sort of like walking on the steps. And it's like so bad.
And then there was the other one was Scotland or something. They're sitting outside. And the backdrop is clearly just a painting of a castle. It was so crazy.
I mean, they did not leave. Okay. Look,
that's crazy, though. It's like, because we know we're going to watch a Lifetime movie, and we have a sense of what they're going to produce. So why even try for those shots?
I know.
So strange.
Many exterior shots. They're in a pool. They're always overlooking some sort of, like, beautiful vista that's terribly designed by every way.
And the paparazzi, and maybe this is true for the time, appear to have access to everybody's backyard.
Oh, they jump over, they get in. Oh, by the way, do we know that the paparazzi was a Creed from The Office appears in a great scene as Daryl Zanuck.
He's
like, who are these people? They're called paparazzi.
In a dark office, introducing that term. And there were also five of them. It was like, could they not hire more extras that day? Like, it was just five guys.
But the paparazzi, really, they seem worse back then. They would get into people's, like, driveways, into their backyard. Yeah. They jump over fences, and never any repercussions for these people at all. They would just, the celebrities would run away.
Yeah.
Or moon them first.
Which there is no proof that that ever happened. Eddie Fisher, the wonderful Eddie Fisher. I liked him. I think he's my MVP.
Did he have any lines of dialogue?
Oh, he had the great scene where he goes, "I'm fucking your wife," Richard Burton. He goes, "What?"
Oh, right. But is that's there was a point? There was a point where he'd been in four scenes, and I was like, hang on, still have not heard him talk. And I got really upset, and I was like, is the actor playing Eddie Fisher gonna be given no
maybe
lines?
He couldn't nail the voice. Maybe he wasn't given.
I was
he wasn't
fascinated
as
by that.
That's nuanced.
And I was like, where is Debbie Reynolds? Where is Carrie Fisher?
Yeah, where Debbie Reynolds?
None of that, because that was to me, because I thought that's what the thrust of it was gonna be, because that was such a piece of American.
They were good friends.
Showbiz that. Drama
Liz
was
and,
yes,
and Debbie
exactly.
Reynolds were like very good friends, and
that
then,
that
know.
Whole thing played out, and it played out in it played out so quickly in this movie, and it was Eddie is just like shoved aside.
Mm. Can we talk about the chance when they finally do get together? They go out, they try to get their friends to go out and celebrate with them, because they finally, she got a divorce from Eddie Fisher, and they're going to go out, and you know, one friend has to watch their kids, another friend, all their friends are busy, and they go out to a restaurant.
They're all at the same restaurant.
They're all at the same restaurant.
Oh, wait.
All of
also,
their friends, individually, not with each other, are separately in the same restaurant.
Isn't part of that, though, that they are all in the same restaurant in Scotland? Aren't they not?
Yeah, they're definitely, they're not
they're
in America. Not,
they're in like Scotland or Switzerland. They're in a foreign country.
And not only are they in the same restaurant.
All of your friends are not in that country, asshole.
They're not even only in the same restaurant, but they're in the same room in the restaurant surrounding them. They're at the center table.
They're
so
also, they're not at one big party. They're all there separately
to have dinner away from Liz and Dick.
I've never seen a movie more where people in a room speak to the person they're with loud enough for the other people in the room to hear, because that's who they want to have the conversation with.
Oh, well, that's like, how they fell in love.
That's
Hollywood.
Can anyone even tell me why they fell in love? Because I don't understand what connected them, what drew them apart. They didn't seem like they had no chemistry, like we said.
Yep.
But there was no, why?
It seems like she really liked the fact that he, well, first he said, you're a very pretty girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that really turned her off. And then he came back and said, you didn't let me finish. You're a very pretty girl.
Well, that could be a beautiful woman. It was disgusting what he said. It was like at
was
that restaurant.
Something like that was going to turn, that is about to turn into a gorgeous, I feel like he used the word luscious, which was really upsetting. Woman.
Like a tender, luscious. Moist woman. You're about to be a tender, moist woman.
And that was not Shakespeare that he was. That was not a Shakespearean line. No, he does quote Shakespeare
his
a
training.
Lot.
His training taught him to be romantic like that.
I love that Julie Andrews comes out looking good. Because Julie Andrews is the only woman you've not slept with, you know, who managed to turn you down, and I'm going to be like her.
She comes
cut to, like,
filmy, like
full of cock.
I'm sure she was loving it last night, because you know she was watching. You know Julie Andrews watched that.
Oh, she was front and center.
Sure.
She had a viewing party at her house.
She was shooting shots.
I watched it with Julie Andrews.
Oh, is that right?
She sang the whole time. Even though she doesn't sing anymore, she sang for me.
But last night
was a special
occasion.
And then we talked about Blake Edwards, R.I.P.
R.I.P. S.O.B.
Yay.
Oh, brother.
All right, so I said there was a point in the movie at like 49 minutes, I looked at my watch, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I felt like there was a moment where I was like, yeah, and then it kind of pulls you back in. I think watching it with commercials is probably the biggest downfall of this movie. You watch it full on. You watch it full 2 hours, right?
Yes.
Did you have a moment of wanting to get out? Did it depress you at a certain point?
Oh, no, I was loving every second of it. But they cut commercials of incredibly weird times. And it was a movie made to have commercials in it.
Yeah.
So it's not just like that, just how it worked out. But like they would introduce a whole new location and get one line out and then cut to commercial. And they had a great place to end it. I'm like, were you so strategic? Was it just like every 14 minutes there must be a commercial or
something
what?
Like that? And then every time they came back from commercial break, it would be like 11 years later.
Yeah.
Every single return was
but
an enormous
no,
jump.
Well, the movie
no
was continuing going on. The movie was going on,
and
the
we taped it. We were watching it a little bit ahead, so you know we were fast forwarding, and it was shot the exact same way as the commercials.
Yes,
so we couldn't tell if it was like a Velveeta mac and shells and cheese commercial.
Like, make it cheesy, make
or
it cheesy,
it
and it goes right into
like you know like wait oh well we got to go with that that was actually Liz and Dick.
Wait
we,
a second,
we couldn't tell the difference. That looked,
Larry
that was,
the Cable Guy is in this Liz and Dick. Oh no,
we
know.
Yeah, we saw like promos with like Rob Lowe and you know.
Do you guys think that it was a choice on Lindsay's part to not wear a fat suit and to not.
I think she probably demanded that. I bet that was her call. Like, I will not.
She didn't show up for the fitting. Didn't she get into, she got into an accident on the way to the first day of production.
Really?
And yeah. they shut down production yeah. like the day one. Yeah. And then she like was like found in her hotel wow. room and they called paramedics. She had a lot of half day in the hospital. So if you consider that in the 20 days and you consider at least 2 days in that black box room, they're working on about 16 days and a lot of his exterior.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty, it's a pretty impressive feat.
That's they did,
that
crazy.
Is crazy. That's crazy.
Oh my God.
But that didn't serve her at all. Like if she was like worried about vanity for whatever reason, I was like, you got to hide behind all that. You got to Norbit it up, honey. Like, really.
Norbit it up. That
hide
is the
behind all that stuff and let us, like, believe.
That is that person. Is going to go, like, into the lexicon of
there's
full retard.
There's nothing worse.
Norbit it up.
There's nothing worse baby. Than a skinny woman having to have having to say lines about being fat.
It's so uncomfortable. Oh, yeah.
Her,
so,
well, they make yeah. a whole thing about her pudgy digits. They don't even try to make her look fat. Nope. They don't even put her in like moves or anything.
The only thing that's fat is her weird bloated face.
I know.
Is that too far? I don't know, guys.
It's self-inflicted.
I don't understand
it's self-inflicted.
What is happening here.
She didn't have a bloated face. It was, it's happened.
Oh,
she's
God.
Created that.
Was that ring attractive? Like Richard Burton buys her like a four.
It's ridiculous.
Like what is it? A $1.4 million ring. It was so ugly when placed on her finger. It looked like the worst piece of costume jewelry that you would ever buy. It was gaudy for costume jewelry. And she's like, I love it. It makes my fat fingers look amazing. But that was like, if that's
I
true, too.
I desperately want them to release an entire shot-for-shot remake of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with these people as the
oh,
cast.
My oh, my God. God. Can you imagine?
But by the way, your Elizabeth Taylor is... you're on the right track.
Hey, thank you.
Like,
I didn't even work with a voice coach.
Into that a bit or at all.
Well, there was one scene where she was kind of British.
She was very British, that one scene when they were, like towards the end. She became very, I was like, oh, that day she really was feeling the,
she was
the
in
accent.
It.
Do you think, and this is like, I'm going to ask this like partly sarcastically and partly realistically. Do you think that she really watched like an Elizabeth Taylor movie? Do you think she's aware of Elizabeth Taylor or just knows like, oh, Elizabeth Taylor? Like, I feel like there's
that's
a good chance.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think
I feel
she
like there's
did
a
do a lot of. Research. I don't,
you think she did?
I do.
I see know. Her as wanting to and then just not getting around
to it. I feel like she did. I feel like she had
a bunch of DVDs
on top of the VCR.
Like yeah. she has them all in her Netflix queue. They're all lined up. She's like, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it, but first I need to
first
get
out
of
high
and drive my car.
Go yeah. hang out with my mom and get into fights. Here's the other thing I will accept. If I don't get a shot-for-shot remake of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf starring these two actors, I would like for Lifetime, this is I'm putting this out to Lifetime right now, and our listeners,
yes.
I want you to tweet at Lifetime that you want this
Please
to happen.
Do.
I would like Lindsay Lohan, what's this guy's name?
Grant Bowler
yeah. to play Katherine Hepburn in Spencer Tracy in a movie about them. And then, to complete the trilogy, I would like a movie about Bogie and Bacall.
Oh, my God.
He's Humphrey Bogart, she's Lauren Bacall.
Oh.
And I want to know that tortured love story.
Oh, my God. It would be exactly the same.
Right?
It would be the exact same.
If this became a trilogy... Wow, that is the way to go.
A trilogy of, because those are all affair romances.
Yes.
Those are all affairs.
And by the way, do you know who Lindsay Lohan beat out for this part?
Oh, who?
Megan Fox.
No.
Yes. Well, that would have been no better. Would have been
I think Megan Fox would have brought it.
I think she would have tried more.
I think she would have
I don't know that she would. I don't know that she
would
have been better. I don't know what she would have, if it would have been good, she would have tried more.
Ugh, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm putting money on Megan Fox to deliver the goods.
Richard Burton is a burly man.
Yeah, like a man.
Like he is
like a Marlon Brando.
He is like a Spencer Tracy Marlon. Like he's a man, you know?
Right.
He's not a... This guy did not seem substantial in a way.
Yeah.
He seemed to me like he was like straight out of like an episode of Melrose Place.
Yeah. Or right off of Rada. Like, I mean, it was, he was very, like, you know. I mean, I saw a good actor there. He had some good moments. I thought he was doing the best he could.
I thought he was absolutely doing the best. I felt so much sympathy for him the whole time.
He looked a little bit more like Richard Chamberlain. Like a more puny Richard Chamberlain.
Poor man's yes. Richard Chamberlain.
Oh,
yeah. Richard Chamberlain.
I'm not saying a lot.
We should do a whole show that's just like the Dean Stockwell is TV Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah.
You know, like those actors who are the counterpart to the movie stars.
Kind of there. I mean, but when you look at Richard Burton, he is like, you look like you go fucking punch in the face.
He was a
he's like an Ernest Hemingway. Like, he'd box you. Like, he was just like, you know, he had that. And he was kind of swarthy a little bit. Like, he was.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, this portrayal made him seem like such
Can we just not use the word swarthy? Is that okay, Drew? I mean, just.
Hey, I love that. I say that word a lot.
It's fine. It's out there.
I have
now.
A lot of friends in the entertainment
it's
business
out there.
That I like to call us swarthy.
Some of my best friends are swarthy. And.
So insane. I would like to bring up one of my other favorite moments in the movie was when they go to meet in Switzerland after they've been apart because Richard Burton's wife committed suicide and then tried to retaliate. And then to retaliate, Elizabeth Taylor tries to commit suicide by drinking vodka. And
vodka.
Don't worry, this won't take too long.
She took pills.
Oh, she took pills.
She took a whole thing of pills.
And so they reunite after.
How many of these did you take? All of them.
Great line. Great dialogue.
More. That's what she wants. More.
Which, by the way, that was an interesting theme in a way. It's like, at least when she said more, I want more, I was like, okay, we're getting to something. Like, this is about somebody who, like, just wanted more all the time. Insatiable. The jewelry, the men, all the stuff. But there was no ending to that. And I know, of course, we're basing this on our life, but there was no...
Well, there was no resolution. There was no character growth. There was nothing. Yeah. They started off crazy. They ended crazy. They just drank and smashed more bottles. But here's the thing that I wanted to talk about when they meet in Switzerland. There was a moment like The Room. Like in The Room when he comes in and buys flowers and he doesn't really say anything. It's like in and out really quick. Like she literally walks into the cafe. She's seated down. And she orders a cappuccino. The woman says, okay, yes, ma'am. Like it's... You have to see it, but it's basically like cappuccino would be nice. Okay, yes, I'll get that right away. It's like
I would. The only way that I would rewatch this movie is to watch it to see how many lines are in individual scenes, because I would wager there isn't a scene that they get more than 8 or 10 lines to each other.
No.
It's usually like
they had to move on.
He has a line. She has a line. He has a line. A year later. Like, it is so...
They're like 4-line scenes.
They are 4-line scenes. It's the worst piece of filmmaking I've ever seen. And I can just only assume they just simply did not have the availability or they just didn't have it.
And I'm sure... We don't got it.
I'm sure as we speak, people are making gifs of this, but when she faints, when she finds out that Richard Burton is passed... They don't even do it on her face. They do it from behind.
Yes.
Because they couldn't.
That's what I was thinking. I wanted to see her fall face down. She didn't bring it in the face.
They couldn't cut to her. That's all I'll say. I think it was unfortunately not an option.
I tried very hard to find any positive reviews of this. I didn't find any.
Is there any way that's not her?
Falling?
Just that somebody with that wig on?
Is it just somebody in the muumuu and the wig?
Just the way they put little kids in like elf
costumes.
Because
she just wasn't there and they're like, well, we need this shot.
I'm scared right now.
Because that's the
scared.
Here's the other way. The other way I would watch that movie is to look for, because there were a couple of other scenes where you couldn't see her face, but she was in it. And now I'm like, I wonder if she's just straight up not in some of these scenes.
Oh, wow. Maybe very. Yeah.
It's just a double.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just looking at the poster for it, and like
you know,
like,
I think I do think Bret Easton Ellis loved it. Like he did tweet about how
really?
He loved it. Yeah, I think if you can find that,
I will.
Because I think Billy Eichner tweeted that he was like, "What do you want to bet, Bret Easton Ellis?" Because Bret Easton Ellis has like trademark like horribly insane movie opinions, and he was talking about how like riveted he was by it.
Oh my God! Let's see.
So you might find a good review there.
I'm gonna look. As we wrap up.
So Bret Easton Ellis, if you want to call in the next show,
Here it is. Here it is. Here, Bret Easton Ellis. these are good. I'm thoroughly enjoying and consistently amused by Liz and Dick. The haters went overboard on this one. And then he goes, all I keep on thinking is Liz and Dick is just chintzy fun, and I'd rather sit through it twice than endure something like The Sessions again. The Sessions, which is supposed to be a great movie.
Just his need to dig on something that has no like connection with that whatsoever.
And then he goes, I've taken Lindsay to task before, but the fun I'm having watching Liz and Dick has nothing to do with the fact that she's in the canyons. And then...
my movie that I wrote.
If you get jacked up over something as charming and innocuous as Liz and Dick, then there's a bigger problem at large than the movie itself.
Oh, my God. We got to talk to Bret Easton Ellis.
We got
to
get him on the show.
This is someone who was one of my favorite authors of all time, who has influenced me unbelievably, who I had to stop following on Twitter because he is a horrible asshole, and I will say it, and like he is a bad man on Twitter, and it's like someone that I'm like, wow, I'm so disappointed by everything that you are, sir, and I love your work. I love American Psycho. And Maya Angelou have ruined my childhood. he loved the movie.
Do you consider where you are in your life right now to be your childhood?
I do. Is that wrong?
I love horrible that about news.
You. You know, I...
Don't tell
you know
him,
I'm
Jason.
12,
please,
right?
Jason, please don't tell
you know
him.
Know that I'm not 12.
I have terrible news.
Oh, my God. Please don't. So, don't try to talk to me about Santa Claus, because I know all that shit.
In closing, would you guys recommend... Well, I guess we've talked about who would recommend it. I think if you have it, the ability to watch it without commercials, it's certainly enjoyable, and it's quick.
Oh.
I don't know how many...
I would also say... You'd only need to watch like the first half of it.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing, there is no payoff. There is
I
no,
recommend
no
the
it does
entire
not get better.
Film.
I do recommend though, I think
I think the entire, it's a piece. You just have to, you have to
see
finish
that at
it.
The point where you feel, at the point yeah. where you feel like, oh, I don't really want to watch this anymore. You can stop.
Yeah.
Because yes. You will not. It is diminishing returns.
It will not
returns.
Win you back.
That's yes. true.
Although
it
I will say.
It will not win you back,
I
but
say,
I highly recommend all
I will
of it.
Say the last 20 minutes is worth. Like, if you watch the first 30 and the last 20, I think that you just need to kind of skip the middle if you're getting bored in there.
Skyfall.
Exactly. Oh, well, is there...
Controversial statement, apparently.
It is. I haven't seen it, so I didn't want to explode. Okay. Any final thoughts? I mean, I feel like we've covered it all. Did we miss anything? We learned very important to just Norbit it if you're doing something like this.
You gotta Norbit it.
And I think I think there's only one person that can take us out on this. Can we play that? Can we play this clip right here? The first one.
Oh, remember when she buys him a Van Gogh?
Oh yeah. And immediately
and she hammers
puts it, on
it
the
to the wall.
She hangs a picture. She hangs a priceless portrait.
Yeah.
In a portrait, like a priceless painting, she hangs with a single hammer, with a hammer and a single nail, just like boom, 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 it hangs and is out of the room. I have spent hours trying to hang pictures.
It was perfectly level. That is her secret superpower. When she's drunk, Lindsay Lohan may be a mess with driving everything, but she can just hammer a fucking Van Gogh on the wall.
Not
okay,
Liz
sorry,
Taylor.
Go ahead.
Here we go. So this is, I think, this will say everything.
I'm bored. I'm so bored. What? I'm bored. How? What do people do when they aren't working?
Don't ask them, dear. They are working.
And that, I think, sums up the whole movie. A big shout
out
to our donor, Joseph Chase, for giving us some money. This is amazing. Thank you so much, Joseph, for mm-hmm. taking your hard-earned cash and giving it to us. We really appreciate that, and it helps make the show even better. We really appreciate you. Drew, what do you have to plug? What do you want to tell people about?
Oh, my God. What do I have to plug? I don't even know.
You don't have to plug anything. You can plug your
plug
Twitter.
Anything. I'm on Twitter at Drew Droege, DREWDROEGE.
All right, great. Yeah. June, where are you at?
At Miss June Diane.
I am Paul Scheer. And Jason?
I'm not on
Twitter. Not on Twitter.
Still not on Twitter, guys.
All right, well, you can check Jason and I out every Thursday night at 10:30 on FX's The League. We're doing back-to-back episodes all month of December. So 10:30 and 11 o'clock, get a double dose of fresh new episodes. All right, that's it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com.
The wolf dead.
Well, folks, it is National Coming Out Month. Let's just stretch it out to the whole month. What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should know about our podcast. I'm Dave Holmes.
I'm Matt McConkie.
We host Homophilia.
Right here at Earwolf.
Uh-huh. It's a queer comedy party where we grill queer celebrities on what they're loving and who they're loving.
We have in-depth, eye-opening, and hilarious conversations about everything from our guests' pop culture obsessions to their personal experiences with dating and sex and love.
Mm-hmm. You get to know a deeper, a more personal side of your favorite queer people, like John Lovett from Pod Save America,
yes.
Margaret Cho, Rhea Butcher, John Early.
John Early was here.
Trixie Mattel. I mean, we have had...
People were all guests on our show.
I know.
Are you kidding? Dan Savage was a guest on our show.
Dan freaking remember Savage. That? Do you remember when Brian Moylan told us the story? I mean, I'm not even going to get into the story right now. But listen, Brian Moylan tells a story that'll curl your damn hair. Episodes are released every single Friday just in time for your gay weekend.
Guys, listen and subscribe to Homophilia now on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen. You should